Buenos días. Ah, habla en español. Muy bien. Excelente. Great. It's really good to be here and good to be able to talk about all that God's doing around the world. There's so much we can say. It's really good as well to be doing this as part of the current series that we're still on until today, I think, releasing Generation C. Stephen's taken us through the 16th chapter of 1 Chronicles, and it's been really good to do that, and there's lots of highlights from that. But there's one thing I'd particularly like to mention that I think Stephen mentioned last week, and that was that the church is one decision away from explosive kingdom advancement. The church is one decision away from explosive kingdom advancement. Who's going to make those decisions? The church. That's us, isn't it? What decision are we going to make today? We heard just now of quite a few, lots and lots and lots of decisions, like those 180 people on the candidates or futures team that went through. I was one of them. Amazing. What decisions are we going to make today that can have eternal consequences? Amazing. And the decision that that person made on the train to talk to Sue. Sue might never have gone to the Middle East if that person hadn't spoken to her on the train. It's amazing, I think. Yeah. So the verse we've been given today, well, really anything from that chapter, but we had to choose this verse. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples, every tribe, every tongue, every language, every nation, every ethne, every people group. We've got that promise that we'll see in a minute as well. Declare his glory. It's a really very, very strong word, that, isn't it? In the context here, we see this was from the Old Testament. And the people of Israel were in wandering around for many, many years. And then we see that they pitched a tent, it says in this chapter of Chronicles. They pitched a tent, and then they brought the Ark of the Covenant into that tent. And they were called, weren't they, the people of Israel? They were called to declare God's supremacy over the nations. And they were called to be different. They were called to be set apart, to be holy. And we've been talking in these weeks about idols and how we need to make our idols idle. We're called to be holy, called to be pure for his glory, so that we can declare his glory to the nations. So in the Old Testament, the Israelites, their function was of a priest, the priesthood. The priesthood in the priests in the Old Testament was to make God known to his people so that they could come into an acceptable relationship with him. And today we, as the worldwide church, we have people from lots and lots of nations here. I'd love to know how many nationalities, how many passports we have here. Certainly lots of languages. We, as the worldwide church, we have the role of priesthood to the nations. Do we believe that? Yeah? We really do. We have the role of priesthood to the nations so that they can come into a right relationship with God. This made me thinking about this word declare. It talks about writing down as well. And this verse here in 2 Corinthians 3, where it says here, you yourselves are our letter, Paul's preaching. And I wish I'd asked Stephen for that slide where, you know, he looks back and you see the cross and you see the Ten Commandments. Do you remember that slide? Yeah? I've watched through it quite a few times the series, so I remember as well. But Paul is looking back, isn't he, post the cross, and he's writing this. He's writing, you yourselves are our letter, written on our hearts, known and read by everyone. Wow, everyone in Charles St. Peter, everyone in Bucks, UK, the world. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. So God's word is written on our heart, figuratively speaking. And here we are, we're going to go out into the world, from Church Lane to the world, after this service. His word is written on our hearts. What are we told to declare? We're told to declare his glory among the nations. And often we ban these words around, don't we? Glory, you know, we don't quite know what it necessarily means. And it is quite a difficult word to define. It kind of means like a kind of weight. A bit like in the next book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles 5, 13, 14, where it says, then the temple of the Lord was filled with the cloud, and the priests couldn't perform their service because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the temple of God. You may have been in a time where you can't speak because God's presence is so heavy, it's so here. And how we long for that. We have seen that here. How we long for that. To be able to declare his glory among the nations. And we can do that in our everyday work. So, what's the current situation? Very, 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 very quickly. There's a page called the Joshua Project, if you want to look at all this information. It's a great resource. Very, very quickly, let's just look at what the situation is in the world. Eric has told us a little bit about this already. But we can see that 4 out of 10 people on Earth live in an unreached people group. And when we say unreached, we're talking basically about people who haven't got the opportunity to hear from someone else, haven't got the opportunity to hear the gospel from someone else. There are many countries in the world, like this country, where there's plenty of opportunity for people to hear the gospel. But these 4 out of 10 people on Earth live in an unreached people group. Sorry, this is a bit bright. The next one is even brighter. This is something from the Lausanne movement. And basically, we can see here that the total missionaries or global workers, 450,000 in the world, approximately, we can see that 435,000 missionaries work among 4.57 billion people, but they're reached. I went to a reached country, I went to Argentina. And there's plenty of work to do in reached countries, of course there is, plenty of work to mobilize the church, to evangelize, plenty need for that. So if God's calling you to a reached country, amen, there's plenty of work still to do. But if we look at the mission force, we see that only 15,000 out of 450,000 are working at the moment with unreached people, people who have no opportunity to hear the gospel. It's such a small percentage, but it's changing. But let's have our focus particularly on those countries. Let's not forget the reached ones, of course. But what about those unreached countries? There's a bit of a disproportionate sending, globally speaking. The emphasis of global sending still really on the reached rather than the unreached in a technical sense. The unreached also have limited contact with Christ followers. Globally, 87% of Buddhists, Hindus, and Muslims have relatively little contact with Christians. If we go to the UK, from the Talking Jesus survey, we can see here that roughly 50% of non-Christians don't know a practicing Christian. So half the people who don't know Jesus in the UK don't know one of us, a practicing Christian. So what do we need to do? Make friends. Yeah? I have to work at it because I work mainly with Christians. But yeah, we just make friends and share our faith in a natural way. So as it says in Romans 10, 14, it says, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they've not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they're sent? We need to be sending people. God sends, the church sends. As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Just have a look at your feet now. Don't take your socks off. But you have beautiful feet that bring good news. There are places that only you can go to. There are mission fields that only you can go to. I can't go there. Only you can. You might be going across the world on business this week. You've got a unique calling. You might be going across the street. You'd probably be going to the supermarket. We have beautiful feet bringing the good news. We are a royal priesthood. Do we believe it? I've just come back from South America, so I'm used to an amen. Sorry. But, yeah? Do you believe it? Yes. Okay. So, what is the ultimate goal and purpose of the church? Well, you could say lots of things. But John Piper says, missions exists because worship doesn't. Missions exists because worship doesn't. What's the real goal of missions? Is it to have a program and have a mission agency and send people? That's wonderful. Of course we need that. Or you can go yourself. Of course you can. But the ultimate goal of missions is to produce worshippers. Worshippers that are going to worship God in heaven. And we see here in Revelation 5, what does it say? And when he'd taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, because you were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God." Let's read this together like they do in Lucy and Paul's country. "People from every tribe and language and people and nation, you've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth." Amen. Says every tribe, tongue, and nation. It says that we preach the gospel to all nations, and then the end will come. So we have a job to do. Very much so. Just in closing, I'd just like to say, as we've said before, we don't want to make Mission Sunday and mission an elite thing at all. Far from it. I remember a few years ago that I'd finished university and I was kind of wondering what I should be doing. And I was wondering about making a decision to sort of not quite get on a conveyor belt, but I could see my life going one way or another. And I was reading the story of when Samuel had been told by God to go and choose a king. And I don't know if you remember, but he was told to go and anoint someone as king. And he was really, really sure about this, and he went to try and do that. And they lined up men in front of him, and God said, he was saying to the Lord, "Is it this one? No. Try somebody else. Is it this one? No. Try someone else." And they went through lots of people. And then there was no one left. And he sort of said, "Well, is there anyone else?" And somebody said, "Oh, yeah, there's Saul. Saul, yeah, he's hiding in the baggage." And that really, really struck me, because I felt that I was kind of hiding from God's will for my life. I could have just continued with maybe a bit more of a normal type of life. But I felt God was calling me to investigate whether I should go to Argentina, and then that led to other things. But I felt I was hiding in the baggage, and God really kind of challenged me to come out of that. So God wants to use all of us. Amen? All of us. Great. And just so that you know, those watching on the live stream, this next section, Lucy won't be appearing on the live stream, so there's nothing technically wrong. It's just something we've planned.
Thank you. Lovely. I don't have as many slides as Stuart. You may be happy to know. I've only got one. To me, this feels a bit like I'm a teenager again, because I'm kind of doing stuff with all my friends that were in the youth group with me. I know we don't look like teenagers, but we're just pretending to be for today. I actually came to know Jesus at school. I was at school near here, and my friends who were part of this church, I wasn't from a Christian family, they prayed every day before school because they were really concerned about us. And they could see that we really, really needed to know Jesus. And they brought Jesus's love to us. And there was a girl in my year who was healed of anorexia. And it was just like this verse, not this verse, the verses that we've been reading about. That in verse 23, you can read it at home, which talks about bringing good news of his salvation from day to day. And that they brought the good news to me, and they said, come and meet our friend who's now healed of anorexia. Jesus did it. And I was like, wow. And then I walked into a classroom once at lunchtime, and they were all singing in tongues. They were worshiping Jesus. And I was like, wow, that sounds so nice. How do you do that? And they were like, oh, it's Jesus. It's the Holy Spirit. So like Cree was saying, it was like I was just captivated by Jesus in them. And they were so kind to me. And when I was anxious and worried about exams, they prayed for me. So that's how I got to know Jesus. And then I was born into this lovely family, Gold Hill, where mission was just what we did. I was born into mission. Like Sue said, it was our DNA. And so when you got to know Jesus, you received Jesus. And then you asked him, okay, Jesus, what would you like me to do? And everyone was talking about going to every nation and people and tribe and tongue. And where does Jesus want to take you? But I was very surprised by Jesus's answer to me, because I was so bad at languages at school. I got minus 17 once in a French dictation. So I thought I'd go to maybe London. That's quite far, isn't it? Or somewhere where they spoke English. But Jesus talked to me about going to Hong Kong and learning Cantonese. And that was a big surprise as a teenager. But I did, and I actually found Jesus really knows us better than we know ourselves, doesn't he? And I loved learning Cantonese. And I met Paul, my lovely husband, and he was called to a country nearby, another city. And so we went in 1991 to Hong Kong. We got married, by the way. We got married. And we did a deal. We'd go to Hong Kong first. We were there for 9 years. And then we went to another city where he wanted to go, and we learned another language, which was amazing. And I remember when we first went out in 1991, I don't know whether any of you had the privilege of getting one of these cups, because we made a cup, because we knew that we couldn't do it. We just couldn't do it by ourselves. And we knew that people would pray for us, but we wanted to remind people to pray for us. So this cup said, please pray for Paul and Lucy in Hong Kong. And did anyone here get that cup? No? Yes? Maybe a few people? Yes? Yeah, we have to do another cup. Because then, when we went into the other city and learnt the other language, by that time we had 2 children. And when we were there, our daughter Lydia was 5 and Stephen was 7. And we started to take heroin addicts to come and live with us. And it was a natural thing. It wasn't like we got qualified to do it or anything like that. But it was just like people had brought Jesus to us and we'd encountered Jesus. We met people that needed to encounter Jesus and come off heroin. And so Jesus, the Holy Spirit, did it. And we prayed for them and they came off heroin without medication and got to know Jesus. And not just that, because actually coming off drugs sometimes physically is one thing, but actually to be healed of the stuff that made you go on drugs in the first place, that is another thing, isn't it? And Jesus can do that as well. And so while I was talking about this cup, the verse on this cup is the same verse that I put up there. And that's the same phrase as the verse that's in verse 23, proclaim or bring good news, bring tidings, good news. And Jesus quoted Isaiah 61, verse 1. And he came to earth, as you know, and he said, should we read that together? That's what we do in our country. We all read together. Is that all right? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, Jesus said, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Then, yes, yeah, he did say that. And then everybody was looking at him. And he said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. And I think that's what Jesus is saying to us. Jesus said that, and that's true. And the way he shared the good news was different for everyone, wasn't it? He fed the hungry. He healed those that needed to be healed. He set people free. He forgave people that needed to be forgiven. All of us need to be forgiven. And so it's not a set formula, but it's as we bring that good news, then Jesus will show us what to do and the Holy Spirit will lead us. And so that is true when Jesus said it. It was true 250 years ago where this church started, when this church started, that it was, Jesus said, today this is fulfilled in your hearing. And it was true for me in the 1980s when quite a few of us came to know Jesus. And it's true now for this generation. For this generation, the world is different. And it is everyone to everywhere. But Jesus is saying, I want you to be intentional. Whether you go over the street or whether you go to the ends of the earth, I want you to be intentional and ask me, Jesus, what is your mission for my life? Yes, that's what I'm going to say. I'm going to pray. Yeah? So, should we pray? Do you want to stand up? But don't stand up if you're too tired, but stand up if you can. Yeah, Lord Jesus, we're so grateful that you came to earth to show us. You said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And when we look at you, Jesus, when we encounter you, we come so close to our lovely Daddy God. And we're so grateful that you died and you rose again, that you are King of Kings and you are Lord of Lords. Thank you for pouring out your Holy Spirit on us. Thank you that you say that as the Father sent me, so I send you. And so just like your Holy Spirit was on you, Lord, you pour out your Holy Spirit on us today. And so, Lord, we stand and we say, come, Lord Jesus, come pour your Holy Spirit out on us afresh. Lord, we want to receive your Holy Spirit individually. Lord, we really want to hear and keep hearing your voice. So we pray, Lord, that you would keep speaking to us. We want to keep hearing what is our mission, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you that you have been speaking to people already and you're going to keep speaking this morning. Lord, come. Come and speak to us. We're listening to you. And Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on us corporately now. Come and do a new thing for this generation. Thank you, Jesus, that you've called us as a church family, Lord, to all nations, to all peoples, to all tribes, to all languages. Thank you, Lord, to the ends of the earth. Thank you, Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit.